From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. Do you have that smug, self-satisfied, you suckers go ahead and wait in line, but I already had my say feeling? Well, if you voted by mail or other forms of early voting, maybe you do. Still, most people will cast their ballots on November 4th, and both political camps are gathering legal armies to challenge possible irregularities. They're the legal armies of Election 2008, just one of the stories we're going to look at with Mary Frances Berry, professor of history at the University of Pennsylvania and the former chair of the U.S. Civil Rights Commission, and Robert George, associate editorial page editor for the New York Post. Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
Hi. Hello,
how's
Rob.
It going?
Things are great. Well, let's start out with a little math, Mary. As many as 10 white Democratic candidates for the House of Representatives in the South are counting on a surge of black voters to push them ahead on Election Day. So how is the Democratic Party going to fare in the age of Obama?
Well, if the black vote turns out, and surely it should, in this election, maybe those 10 white Democrats will get elected. It's always been an anomaly in the South that you'd have Republican congressmen or even conservative Democrats representing districts where there were a whole lot of black folks, especially Republicans, representing them. But this year, with the turnout, this may change, and then the Democrats will have a much larger number of people in the House of Representatives, which may present some problems because most of them are moderate to conservative, and so there may be some division there. But I think the Democratic Party will take the numbers, the overwhelming numbers, and if the turnout is what everyone projects it to be, that's what should happen.
Robert, we got a little bit of a clue of the dynamic after the special election in Mississippi in the spring. White Democrat Travis Childers took over a House seat long occupied by the GOP, thanks in part to black voters. So, you know, Childers and his challenger are now competing for a full 2-year term in the November election. But from the Republican perspective, with so many Republican seats either in play or, you know, people retiring, what could this do to the balance of Congress?
I think Republicans are, you know, are looking at a slaughter in the congressional races, and possibly in the Senate too, where they may get to a 60 votes there. What I think, just kind of bouncing off of something that Mary said before, that it is true that these you've got these candidates who are looking at the black vote helping sweep them in. And the irony is that even though the polls look good for him right now, even if Barack Obama doesn't win, if McCain somehow pulls something out, that just the incredible turnout of black voters, regardless, can still make a huge majority of Democrats in both the House and the Senate. Now, while it is true that because these people are running in otherwise conservative districts, they will end up running basically voting as moderate Democrats. But keep in mind this. They're going to have to run again in 2010, and they will not be able to depend on having a Barack Obama at the top of the ticket to bring out a huge amount of black voters again. So they are going to even though they are going to be dependent on getting into the office by having a huge black turnout, they are going to have to vote in a middle of the road way so they can make sure they can get reelected in 2010 when there might not be such a huge black voter turnout.
So what we're looking at is a greater schism in the Democratic Party, even if the party ends up with greater numbers between the blue dog conservatives and the more liberal progressives in terms
of the agenda, one of the things Republicans found out in 94 is, you know, when you're in the minority, you are very, very unified because you can break everything down to, like, say, 3 or 4 principles and that everybody's going to be on board with. Once you're in the majority, and you've, especially if you've got huge numbers, it's just natural that it sometimes can be a little bit harder herding all the sheep because you're going to have some blue dogs over here who are a little bit more conservative. You're going to have the hardcore liberal caucus over there, and as you know full well, I think it was Will Rogers who said that I don't belong to an organized party. I'm a Democrat.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite sayings. Yeah, yeah. Well, actually, I have to move on to another topic because this one is going to be huge. early voting states are reporting record turnout this week. Officials in Houston counted 39,000 votes on Monday alone, and that's double the amount for the first day of voting 4 years ago. You've got people voting in Florida, North Carolina, other key battleground and swing states. And so we're used to hearing about voter registration, people walking around and, scooping up those registrations, sometimes maybe getting a couple of Santa Clauses in there. But there are a cadre of lawyers ready to file challenges in case the contest is not settled the day after the election. So Charles Lichtman, the Democratic lawyer charged with keeping tabs on Florida, has said, quote, "On election day, I will be managing the largest law firm in the country." He's talking about 5,000 people. Mary, is this necessary?
Well, it depends. If Obama wins by a landslide, as predicted by some polls, or by 1 point, as predicted by others, you pays your money, you takes your choice, but most of them predict a large margin, then it won't make any difference, because even if the Republicans challenge some votes, there won't be enough out there for them to say that they can win. If he wins marginally, then, in fact, I think that there will be some challenges. And what the Democrats are doing is, based on what happened in Florida in 2000 and Ohio in 2004 and so on, and the recent charges of fraud in the registration process, is getting ready for it no matter what happens and getting ready to insist. I think they're right to get ready, since we can't really tell whether the polls are entirely accurate and that the landslide will be so overwhelming that it will be suffocating. And there probably will be some challenges, because there have been some instances where people have publicly said that they went out and registered voters that they shouldn't have registered and the like. I'm sure it's not a large number, but if the Republicans lose and it's by a small margin, I think that they would bring charges. And if Obama should happen to lose, clearly the Democrats would, under these circumstances, be filing charges all over the place.
Yeah, exactly, because the way it's looking right now is John McCain looks to, if I can start using a poker terminology here, John McCain is looking to draw an inside straight for a very narrow electoral vote win. It's more likely that Obama is going to have a comfortable to landslide win. But if it ends up being a narrow McCain win, it would quite obviously can come down to one or two states, probably one state. And yeah, absolutely, the Democrats are going to jump in. What I always think is interesting, though, every 4 years, you can predict it. The Democrats are going to accuse the Republicans of voter intimidation or voter suppression, and the Republicans are going to accuse the Democrats of a voter fraud and voter registration fraud. Now, I think in isolated cases, you might find examples of both. But it's fascinating that every time they all get into the regular talking points, and generally speaking, it ends up being isolated things and nothing widespread on either side.
All right.
Well, Farah, I've got to tell you that in 2000, I chaired the commission and we did investigated Florida. And under oath, we had sworn testimony from officials and people, and we found thousands of instances in which black voters who were eligible to vote were not permitted to vote. We called it the no count. That's why Congress passed the Help America Vote Act, which is supposed to have helped us to solve these problems.
All right. Fundraising. The Obama campaign announced it had raised $150 million in September alone, breaking all previous records. Now, Senator McCain actually went on Fox News Sunday, where he criticized what he called the, quote, broken dam of fundraising. Here's a little bit of him talking with Fox's Chris Wallace.
Senator Obama raised $150 million, I understand, during the month of September, completely breaking whatever idea we had after Watergate to keep the costs and spending on campaigns under control. First time since the Watergate scandal. And I can tell you this, that is unleashed now in presidential campaigns, a new flood of spending that will then cause a scandal, and then we will fix it again.
Go for it. I have to go. Look, John McCain is the Republican candidate. Fine, As I wrote on my personal blog, Ragged Thoughts, a couple of days ago, this is a perfect example why John McCain still drives conservatives absolutely nuts. The McCain-Feingold law that he was pushing for close to 10 years and finally got signed in 2002, it helped create the conditions that Barack Obama is taking advantage of now, because it ended up limiting the amount of soft money that would otherwise be in the race. It did, however, allow almost unlimited amounts of internet fundraising, and in fact, that was actually pioneered by John McCain in 2000, expanded by Howard Dean in 2004, and of course, Barack Obama has blown the walls off of this.
All right, Mary,
I got to get in on this.
You got 1 minute.
Late breaking news is that a lot of Obama's money came from huge donors. That was on the front page of the Washington Post this morning, and not from the internet. I also think
but
that
it's
McCain,
still 3.1 McCain, million individual
McCain,
donors.
Let me finish. McCain was a chump. When Obama decided to go back on his promise, McCain should have said, "I'm going back on mine," because what the guy did.
You're talking about public funding.
Right, it's public funding. And Obama paid no price. The white shoe liberals, who had been arguing all the time for public financing, made Obama pay no price in the media or anywhere else for having done it. And here was McCain in a Democratic year anyway, being outspent, all the rest of it, with everything else going for Obama. And yet he stuck to that. He should not have stuck to it. He was a chump,
all right,
basically. And that should be the end of the idea.
Guys, we have to end it here. And next time we pick up, we can also talk about what money the parties do or don't have. But
right.
Thank you for the vigorous discussion.
Yeah.
Right.
Thank you. We were speaking with Mary Frances Berry, professor of history at the University of Pennsylvania, former chair of the U.S. Civil Rights Commission. She joined us from NPR's headquarters in Washington, D.C. And Robert George is the associate editorial page editor for the New York Post. He joined us from our NPR studios in New York.